Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Have a nice Thanksgiving. And we're going to give you some food safety tips right now, as a matter of fact. Y'all, if you got any questions, comments, text them in to 504-260-1870. Because the last thing in the world you want for anybody to do is to get sick after eating something at your home. And I know when we were kids, it happened, and we were all sick, and it was just miserable. Janet Buffer joins us now, food safety expert of the George Washington University Milken Institute School of Public Health. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And I mentioned that when I was a kid, we all presumed it was oyster dressing that got everybody just deathly ill, and that's the problem with having the whole family over. And that doesn't mean that anybody is not a clean housekeeper or doesn't do, you know, everything they can, but sometimes people just don't know, right?
Exactly. That is, people can be working in their kitchen and thinking they're doing everything correctly, but there's just a few tips and tricks that need to be put into place to make sure that everyone is safe with the foods that they cook and the leftovers that they store.
So I guess maybe we'll go chronologically. What's the best way to thaw frozen food if people didn't yet start thawing their turkey? Is it too late?
No, it's not too late. Of course, the best way to do it is in your refrigerator, but that does require you taking it out several days and 3 to 4 days from the freezer and put it in the refrigerator to defrost. Now, I have myself been known to wait way too long before taking my turkey out of the freezer. Yes.
Really?
I will tell you, I did it last year, to be quite honest. So you can, and this is the next best way, is to put it into a sink with cold running water. So plug your sink, put some cold water in, submerge your turkey, let it defrost in the cold water. It may require you to change the water every now and then, but that is another acceptable way to defrost it.
And then you can use the water that you soak the turkey in as a refreshing beverage, right? Just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, absolutely not, Tommy.
No, but seriously, no. When it comes to that kind of thing, you know, they got me so afraid now with poultry and washing chicken and all of that. Because if you do wash the chicken before you cook it, you kind of spread that all over, right? So when it comes to the turkey after you do thaw it in its wrapper, how do you handle it from that point to keep from spreading stuff all over the place?
Exactly. So, and I do leave my turkey in the wrapper when I'm defrosting it in the sink. And then, but always, because there's a chance for the juices to leak out, that's always a potential. So once you drain the water from your sink, be sure to wash it with warm soapy water and rinse it really well.
Wait.
If you
soapy
do have
water?
An antimicrobial, warm, after you drain the, so once you remove the chicken from the sink and you drain the water, then wash your sink with warm soapy water.
I thought you were washing a bird with warm soapy.
No. Please do not wash your chicken with warm soapy water. Do not wash your turkey or your chicken at all. Not do that at all. Just open the package and put it in the roasting pan and roast it.
So when it comes to brining, what about that and temperature and all of that stuff? Somebody texted in.
Brining is great. I'm brining mine with a sugar and salt mixture right at the moment. It's a dry brine. Mm-hmm. So I've rubbed it onto the bird, and then I've put that bird back into the refrigerator to brine. If you're submerging it in a salt and or sugar or both brine, and you the same thing, you want to make sure you put that back in the refrigerator. So it should always stay chilled. Do not leave your bird out on the counter. or to brine on the counter for several hours. Put it back into the refrigerator to brine.
So if you have one of those, or if you do plan on brining it, you got to put it in an ice brine solution?
If it's in the refrigerator?
Well, no. I guess somebody told me a long time ago that they brined a turkey by putting it in a half salt, half water solution in an ice chest. But if you were going to do that, you got to have ice all over the turkey or what? Do you not do it that way?
No, if you're going, gosh, that could be a challenge. And I realize space is an issue, but if you're going to try and brine, but you definitely want to keep that bird below 41 degrees. I think that is really the information that everyone should have. If you're going to do any sort of brining, it has to stay chill. So whatever.
Let me take a step back.
Keep that bird below 41 degrees. That's what you want to do.
The best way to brine a turkey would probably be the place to start here, so we don't send people down the wrong road.
Okay, thank you. In the refrigerator. Please brine your turkey in the refrigerator. Yes.
So you put it in a bag and then if you're not going to do a dry brine?
If you're going to do a liquid brine, and you will put it in a container with water, with your sugar, salt mixture, submerge your bird in that water, but put it back in the refrigerator.
So you're going to need a pretty big container if you plan on doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Somebody else texted in, said here, smoking a 13-pound turkey today, should I put it in the refrigerator overnight, then warm up for tomorrow for lunch? And that is a problem. I know sometimes they get fried turkey where people pick them up a day ahead of time. I always hated that because that goes to the rule of how many times can you reheat something, right?
Right. But no, that's fine. If they picked up their bird today and it's ready, then yes, go put it in the refrigerator. And then when they pull it out the next day, reheat it.
But what about after that, reheating it and leftovers?
Then we get into the leftovers. So they've reheated this item, and then how long is this bird? The meat should not be sitting out for more than 2 hours. So I'm assuming we're talking about they're reheating this bird and putting it out on the table for consumption.
I don't mean to make it confusing, but let me go back and make it, begin at the beginning, which is, You reheat it, you got it, it was cooked, right, then it cooled, then you refrigerated it. Now you're heating it again to serve it, so it's been reheated once. How many times do you get to reheat it? Because if you pick it up
you can reheat it again, but you just need to make sure that when you reheat to a temperature of 165 degrees, and that's critical. The thing that will happen with that second is that the quality of the product will change. When you reheat,
I guess more than once. Yeah, what I'm trying to get to is, how many times can you make something a leftover?
From a food safety standpoint, you said you can do this multiple times.
Really?
If you reheat to 165 degrees. Yes.
Really?
But I'm telling you, yes. But. The quality of that product, the flavor of that product, the texture of the product is going to get to a point where it is really not pleasant to consume. So from a food safety standpoint, if you are handling your leftovers correctly, so you have that food out, you put it back in the refrigerator within a 2-hour period, and that's important, that food should not be sitting at room temperature for longer than 2 hours. So you have that product. It sits at room temperature. You put it back in the refrigerator within 2 hours. Okay, you take it out to reheat it. You reheat it to a temperature of 165. And I'm going to say you must use the thermometer to know what that temperature is. And again, I'll give you some anecdotal evidence of that.
Okay.
I was reheating a dish, and I had it in a pot. I had it on the stove. It was nice and bubbly and hot and steaming. I took the temperature, and it was 155. So I needed to let it cook for longer, to heat for longer, before it got to that 165 degrees. And then when I tasted it, I didn't like it. It did not taste well. So I ended up throwing the item out. It was a beef and bean dish is what it was. So it's really important that you reheat to 165 degrees. That's the temperature that will keep food safe, leftovers safe, if you want to reuse them.
And I'm getting some text here. I'm making it confusing and confusing people, and I don't mean to do that. The only thing I'm just I was brought up with you reheat it one time and then you throw it away. I'm just astounded that you can reheat it more than one time. But the problem is it's not going to taste ideal, right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
But along those lines, Janet, what about tasting something or smelling something? How do you know when it's gone bad and that you shouldn't even fool with it?
So there's a difference between spoilage and an item that's safe. So for items, if you're trying to see, taste, or smell food that could harm you, you can't. You cannot see, taste, or smell pathogens. If there is a harmful bacteria in your food, you cannot taste it. So therefore, that's why handling food appropriately is important. So you cook to the proper final cooking temperature, you put leftovers away within a two-hour period, you reheat properly, and you keep items at 41 degrees or below in your refrigerator to keep it cold. So hot food's hot, cold food cold. If spoiled foods, mm-hmm. if food is spoiling, that's when you will see, taste, or smell a change. And spoilage typically does not cause harm, but food pathogens will cause harm.
Somebody texted in, we'll have to take a break and answer. We come back. They eat steaks for Thanksgiving, and they said they have about $200 of steaks that have been in the freezer for a year. Is it okay to eat? We'll answer when we come back with Janet Buffer, food safety expert at George Washington University Milken Institute School of Public Health. She's our good friend. She's been on before. We're trying to keep everybody from getting sick. Another text comes in. What about cold leftovers? We'll talk about that. Somebody else said, should you remove the turkey from the bone for storage after cooking? Somebody else wants to know, how long do you leave it on the counter? How hot does it have to be, or how cool does it have to be before you pick it up? A lot of questions coming in. 504-260-1870. We just want everybody to be happy and healthy for Thanksgiving. Back in a flash, WWL. .928, talking to Janet Buffer, food safety expert at the George Washington University Milken Institute School of Public Health. And a text comes in, and it says, I'm not trying to be difficult, and we appreciate the courtesy there, but they didn't quite fully understand about reheating the dishes with... Can you reheat the whole dish, or do you just want to take a portion of it out to reheat leftovers? Explain that, if you will, Janet, please.
Sure. It's anything. If you take the dish out of the refrigerator, let's go backwards. You've taken the food off the counter, and you've put them in a container. Mm-hmm. And you store them in your refrigerator at 41 degrees or below. And then you're ready to take those leftovers out several hours after you've eaten or the next day. So you remove that container. You may reheat if it's a food safe container that's safe to use in the microwave. You can reheat the whole container of food. It just must be to 165 degrees. Or you take out a spoonful of an item and put it on a plate with some other items. It just still needs to be heated to 165 degrees Fahrenheit.
All right. Not trying to make it complicated, but the devil is in the details. Somebody else says, what about cold leftovers? I guess they mean, do you have to reheat them? I guess is what they mean.
The adage is hot food's hot, cold food's cold. So if you have, let's say, cut fruit that should always stay cold at 41 degrees or below, you take that out of the refrigerator and you eat that cold. If you have a salad that's left over, you're going to want to eat that cold. So things that are to be served cold should be stored cold and then consumed as a leftover cold.
Should you remove the turkey from the bone for storage after cooking?
I don't really have an opinion on that. It's from a base perspective. Yes, it's probably a good idea, but you can put the whole turkey in the refrigerator. The most important thing is that it's kept cold after it's been removed from the counter and it's being stored.
This I definitely want to get to, and that is the dressing cooked inside of the turkey as opposed to outside of the turkey. Please talk about that, Janet.
Thank you for bringing that up, too. That is so important, that when you have stuffed that turkey and you are roasting it, when you take the temperatures to make sure that your turkey has reached at least 165 degrees, and you want to take the temperature in the thickest part of the breast, you want to take it in the thigh, you can also take it around the wing, but you also must take that temperature of the stuffing. That is so important. And make sure that the tip of that thermometer gets all the way into the middle of the stuffing that's in the turkey. Mm-hmm. And it is definitely at 165 degrees. And again, I'll give you a little story here. And it was, so not me, but a food safety professional that I know. He was at his Thanksgiving dinner, and he was very concerned that the stuffing did not get to the right temperature. He even called it out to his family member. He chose not to eat the stuffing, and other members did, and people did get sick with salmonella. They definitely got sick. So it is so important to take that temperature.
This is not a health issue. It is a health issue, I guess, a judgment I'm trying to say, Janet, but it would seem to me, if you look at the upside and the downside and the marginal difference of cooking the dressing inside of the bird, it would seem as though, if you're going to err on the side of caution, it would be make a lot more sense not to put the stuffing in the bird.
Yes, okay. Yes, definitely. You still want to take that temperature, though. It still needs to get nice
and
hot. But
I'm just saying about the dressing. Rather than risk it, it's probably a lot safer just to cook it separate, because I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference in terms of the flavor.
Yeah.
This is an interesting text. Cooking turkey and ham, can both of them sit on the counter for the same amount of time? And while we're talking about that, Janet, you know, sometimes it's not just a meal. People leave food out and people pick at it the entire afternoon while they're watching football. What's the best way to do that? And you can also bring up warming trays or whatever else as we talk about this.
Okay. So first part of the question, the turkey and the ham can sit out on the counter, again, no longer than 2 hours. So they can sit on the counter, and then you're going to want to put them away into the refrigerator to keep them cold. Then if people do want to graze for the afternoon, you can pull those products back out and put them on the counter. Again, I would not this is going to get a little tricky.
Well, that's all right. Look, Janet, you know what? People, they can go back. They can download the Odyssey app. They can go to WWL.com, click on my name, and rewind or listen at their convenience. But the devil is in the details on this, is it not?
It is, yes, because you want to put those products back in the refrigerator, and you want them to cool down to below 41 degrees. You want those products to be cold. Okay, so if you're going to graze for the afternoon, you can pull that product out of the refrigerator, make your sandwich, reheat, but put it back in the refrigerator to keep it chilled. I would not keep putting it in the refrigerator and pulling it out throughout the period of the day, because it's not giving the item a long enough time to get down to a chilled temperature. So if you're going to graze, okay, just pull the product out, make your plate, put the product back in the refrigerator. If it's hot foods that should be hot, you can reheat them to 165 degrees. If it's cold foods, just eat them cold. But make sure that your leftovers stay in the refrigerator so they can get down to a cold temperature.
So I was watching one of these Gordon Ramsay shows one time, and he just reamed somebody because they had condensation in a package that they had put in the refrigerator. But yet they say you're supposed to pick it up. I don't know. At what point do you put food into the refrigerator? Can it be too warm when you put it in the refrigerator? And is it about the food, or is it about bringing down the temperature of the refrigerator?
It's a little bit of both. So when you have hot foods, you wouldn't take something directly out of the oven and put it into the refrigerator steaming hot. You really want that product to come down to about room temperature, which is about that 2 hour period, right?
Okay.
And then you put it into the refrigerator. If you put it into the refrigerator hot and you seal it, you're not giving that item enough time to cool, what we call getting through the temperature danger zone quickly enough. And this is a whole another concept. But when you cook foods, and they get to temperatures, well above 135. You know, they can be 160, 165. But food needs to get through the temperature zone of 135 down to 70 degrees within a two-hour period. So think about that. You have your product, you put it out on the counter, it's steaming hot, it's coming down to room temperature as it's sitting on that counter for about 2 hours. Then you can put it in the refrigerator and chill it back down to 41 degrees.
I got a couple of questions, and I got to get back to that. Go ahead, finish, Janet, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
I got to get back to that frozen steak thing, too, because I never get back to that. But somebody got a couple of different texts coming in here. There's nothing wrong if the turkey has been properly refrigerated with eating cold turkey out of the refrigerator on a sandwich, correct?
Absolutely not. Nope, that is perfectly fine.
Have a blast. So let's talk about this person got $200 of frozen steaks they've been sitting on for a year. They eat steaks at Thanksgiving. They want to make sure that the steak is okay to eat. Can you keep something frozen for a year? And if when you open a package, they say it's vacuum sealed, how do you know if it's good or not?
It's fine. That steak is just going to be fine being frozen for a year. When you have products that are stored in the freezer, it doesn't necessarily kill the bacteria, but it certainly slows any sort of growth down. And when they're cooking that steak, most likely anything's going to be on the outside of it. So if they're cooking that to the proper temperature, which is about 145 degrees, it's going to kill that bacteria on the outside of the steak. So their steaks are fine.
Popped up, too, about steaks and vacuum packs. They said they took it out of the freezer and they had a slime on the outside. Does that mean anything?
Of the steak or
pack? Not the package, the steak itself, when they took it out of the package after defrosting it.
That may just be the moisture that was retained next to the steak while it was defrosting. But if there's any question, I would not consume it.
When in doubt, throw
it
out.
Any sort of question, I would throw it away.
Thank you, Janet. I appreciate your time. Have a nice Thanksgiving. We love talking to you as always. Janet Buffer, food safety expert at the George Washington University Milken Institute School of Public Health, 938, 22 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. All right, here we go. Special Wednesday edition because it is, I would think, JR, one of the bigger football. First of all, good morning, JR. How you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. Happy Football Friday, Tommy.
Yes, sir. Same to you, although it's Wednesday.
Happy Football Wednesday. What am I talking about?
You know what it is? I like Thanksgiving in a way almost more than Christmas because it's 4 days, right, of fun and family and food and football and all that stuff. And not to take anything away from Christmas. I'm just saying you got 4 days all together there and the excitement's in the air already. Tell me, first of all, about a mindset that people should have going into this big 4-day weekend of all kinds of professional and college football.
First off, I absolutely love this time of year. I know there's a lot of bah humbugs out there that got to go spend money, and you know they get a little crazy about this holiday season. They don't look forward to it. Listen, I got 6 kids. I've been married 27 years, and I love the holiday. I love Thanksgiving. I'm going to have more than 30 people at my house tomorrow, and we are going to party. We're going to watch football. We're going to make money, and we're going to eat like crazy. It's going to be awesome. So right out the gate, I'm going to hook you guys up with the big winner of this Chicago-Detroit game, absolutely free. The line's been going from 9 to 10.5, back and forth all over the place. I'm going to give you this winner free of charge via text message. All you got to do, text the word WIN to 545454 right now. Get the winner of the Bears-Lions game 100% free via text message. All you got to do, text the word WIN to 545454 to get that winner. And look, the mistake guys make is they come into Thanksgiving and they start firing it in right away, and all of a sudden, by the time they get to the turkey, they're already down money, they're miserable, their family is around, and they want to go home. Yeah. Don't make that mistake. Have an expert on your side that not only wins like crazy, but is capable of telling you the right way and the amounts that you should be putting based on your bankroll, guys, to give you the strategy so that you got a smile on your face no matter what, whether you win or lose that first and second game by the time you get to turkey, we're going to have you up money, and we're going to have you doing dances around the turkey table. So give us a shout. Get this winner between Chicago and Detroit for free. Text WIN to 545454.
The turkey table dance. You know, the other thing, JR, I was thinking of, when you look at this game, the second game, you got the Giants without Daniel Jones, who I think signed with Walmart. I heard today.
He's, well, that's the one you got to take a nap for.
Well, not necessarily, because there might be, and I don't know what kind of information you have based on money line movement on this or the other thing, there could be some opportunities with that game to maybe find a winning opportunity and have some action on the game where there is something to watch for, right?
No question. We're going to be betting all three of these games. Anyone that's a client of ours will be getting what's called the turkey shoot. So you will get all three of those games. We're going to make it a fantastic turkey day. But if you're going to go all day, let's face it, you're going to eat, you're going to have a nap. If you're going to nap during any game, it's going to be the Giants-Cowboys game that maybe you fall out for that 45 minutes on the couch and wake back up with a kid throwing a football on your lap. So look, if you really want to do things the right way, you got to have somebody that really not only knows what they're doing and can win like crazy, but like I said, we're going to help you as to how you should roll over a portion of what you make on game one onto game two, and then another portion of what you made on the first two going on to game three. So no matter what, you walk out of this day, you walk out of Thanksgiving with some money in your pocket and food stuffed in your belly.
That's what we're all looking for. How about the college football games this weekend? What's got your attention? What doesn't?
You know, I got to tell you, man, we've been just on fire in college football. College football is, obviously coming towards the end of the season. We're going to be getting into the championship game soon. We're going to be getting into, of course, the playoff, which is going to be a 12-man playoff, 12-team playoff for the first time. So I got to tell you, man, I am pumped up. I am excited. And I couldn't be more excited about some of the games that we've got this weekend. We've already actually put out. There's one game in particular. I'm not going to say which game it is, but there's one game in particular we absolutely love, and we're already putting our clients on it this far in advance. So I got to tell you guys, if you really want to do things the right way, you know, over here at Taking Vegas, we've got all of the tools, all of the resources, all of the right pieces in place. I'm going to have the winner of that Oklahoma-LSU matchup. I'll tell you right now, the line on that game is -6. It's going to be in Baton Rouge. This is not a game you want to try to bet on your own. Again, you want to be able to get the information that we're going to be releasing on this matchup. And along with the big winner tomorrow with the Lions and the Bears. Again, listen, Chicago, since they've gotten rid of Waldrum, it's a bit of a different offense. He's distributing the football. He's running with it when he needs to. Caleb Williams, I'm talking about. So they look like a different team, but at the same time, they're going against a Lions team that's scoring more points in the NFL than any other team, and their defense is number one or two right now as far as allowing points. So they are a ruthless, relentless team. But will Chicago be able to slow them down to the tune of 9.5, 10 points? I'm going to let you know, guys. It is absolutely free, and I send it to you via text message. All you got to do, text the word WIN to 545454. Get the winner of the Lions-Bears game absolutely free. Sign on with us. Get the turkey shoot. Get our college football. And let us roll you into Sunday with a huge profit and nothing but excitement for Sunday NFL. Well, WIN. Text WIN to 545454.
What I think is so interesting about what you do is it's not just about X's and O's or, well, it is about numbers, but not the numbers on the backs of the players. It's about numbers in terms of money movement. You're watching all of that, aren't you?
We are. Not only do we have to look at the matchups, and we got to look at, you know, past performances of teams that are, you know, just like another team that they're going against, same types of defenses, same types of offense that a defense is seeing. You got to look at everything. And then we go look at the money. We got to watch the money flow coming into the games. And a lot of what we're looking for is that quote unquote institutional money is what I call it. It used to be known as smart money or sharp money. I'm looking for the big numbers that are coming in. We're talking about groups that move large amounts of money, mainly by proxy, where they've got other people moving in and out for them. So you got to be able to, you know, really capitalize on understanding and watching that money flow coming in and out of these games, something we specialize in as well as the matchups. And when we get something that really hits our radar hard, guys, that's when we pounce and that's when we make a big score for our clients.
And you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. It's not about winning every game because you're not going to win every game.
You're just not. You're going to lose. I mean, I'm one of the few guys in this business that talks about it because everyone wants you to think that all they do is win. That's just not the case. I mean, we win like crazy, like an incredible percentage of our games. We win like nuts. But at the end of the day, it does come down to managing and making sure that when you do get those two losses, sort of like here. Look, I hit 7 in a row for you guys here on air. We were 7-0. Now we're 10-3. So that means that, let me just take a look at it for yourself. We've went 3-3 the last 6 games. That means that if you're just betting them straight for the same amount of money, you're dead even the last 6 games, 7 games above 500 if you've been doing it all season. But you know what? If you're a client of ours, we've got you lowering your bets as you lose a game or two. And then when things go back to the way they're supposed to, like they will this week, you start to pile it on. That's the way you do it. And you got to have the right percentage points, the amount of money you should be increasing, whether it's 10%, 20%, 30%, 50%. We're going to help you with that. We're going to tell you exactly how you should be doing it so that you can get to the finish line in first place.
All right, give us a free pick, JR, and then take us out.
You got it, guys. I'm going to come in with this one. I absolutely, I'm going to tell you now, this is as easy as they get. You got the Brian Flores defense taking on the Arizona Cardinals, who have their D has definitely stepped up the last few weeks. Both of these teams not allowing a lot of points on either side of the football. Special teams has been great. The punters have been outstanding. I'm looking for this game to go way under 45 points. Cardinals, Vikings, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central time on Sunday. That one's yours free. Go under 45, guys, under 45, Cardinals, Vikings. Now, look, big, big blowout winner. Again, I'm going to give you the winner of this Lions-Bears game absolutely free, and it comes to you via text message. All you got to do, text the word WIN to 545454. Get the winner of the Bears-Lions game via text message free of charge. Text WIN to 545454. I mean this absolutely sincerely, guys. Be safe this holiday season. Get home safe. Have fun with your family. And, of course, more than anything else, let's go out there and make some money.
Happy Thanksgiving, JR.